Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. I welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus. I believe absolutely that this is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Say aloud, Amen. This evening, we shall be speaking on the subject, the covering of the Lord. The covering of the Lord. Our passage is from Deuteronomy chapter 33 and in verse 12. It said, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him, cover, all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. The Lord shall cover him, the covering of the Lord. Our objective tonight is actually the same as the subject, understanding the covering of the Lord. Today we live in a world of very terrible wickedness. Terrible wickedness. Wickedness that has become very bold. Wickedness that has gone public. Wickedness that is unimaginable. At a time such as this, we need to take cover. Military people know what it means to take cover. We need to take cover. And I will say, the best form of covering or cover we can take is the covering of God. Take cover. In God. Take cover under God. And I am going to look at examples of in scripture where people existed under the covering of the Lord. Example number one, Moses. Moses lived in Egypt, a land that was hostile to his people of Israel. A land where people were dying. Israelites were dying like flies. In that land of Egypt, Moses did not just exist in the nation. He existed in the palace. In Exodus chapter 2 and in verse 10, we saw how Moses lived in the palace. The child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. He lived in the palace of Pharaoh. The magicians could not decode him. The astrologers could not detect him. The forecasters could not forecast him. Because he was under the covering of God. God covered him. And it is clear that when God covers a man, no devil can uncover them. When God hides a person, no devil can unhide them or find them. In Exodus chapter 33 and in verse 21 to 23, we saw a clear description of God's covering for Moses. When Moses was asking God to show him his face, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. I will hide you somewhere. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Even though this was meant to be an encounter, yet it was a covering. First of all, planted inside the rock. You remember the song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. He was hid inside the rock with the hand of God covering him while God passed. In that position, it was not possible for Moses to be hurt or injured by any man or devil. And I believe tonight there are people seated here that God will place in the rock of himself, that God will cover by his hand, and no devil, no power from hell, no witchcraft power, no occultic power, no wizardry power, no power of stray bullet will be able to locate you where God shall hide you. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest believer, say amen. Somebody say, was that only meant for Moses? No. It could be for you as well. In Isaiah chapter 33 and in verse 15 to verse 16, Isaiah 33:15-16, he said, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, this man shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. That is God saying, what I did was not just for Moses. It can be for anybody. And so we saw how Moses lived under the covering of the Lord. Example number two, Jacob and his family. Jacob and his family in Genesis chapter 35 and in verse 5. Genesis chapter 35 and in verse 5. And the Bible says, and they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. They journeyed, but there was something God used to cover them. It was terror. When you came near them, you didn't feel fire, you felt fear. There was something about them that made it in. Your heart will break when you think of them. Am I speaking to somebody here? You will have palpitations, tachycardia, when you just imagine them. Imagine their heart and your heart is failing you. The terror of the Lord was round about them. There are people seated here today that will experience the terror of the Lord around about your life. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say the loudest amen. Somebody lift up your right and say, I am stepping into the terror of the Lord. I am unharmable because I am surrounded with the terror of the Lord. Say the loudest amen. By the time tonight is over, you will realize that you are too fortified to be victimized. By the time tonight is over, you will realize you are too fortified to be affrighted. No witch is witchy enough. No wizard is wizardry enough. Except they came to die. Except they came to die. Little writer say, I am too fortified to be victimized. Take your seat. The terror of the Lord. Number four, Benjamin experienced the covering of the Lord. That's number three. Benjamin. Deuteronomy chapter 33 And in verse 12, Deuteronomy 33, and in verse 12, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. The Lord shall cover him, because he's the beloved of the Lord. He shall dwell in between his shoulders. There is a place you can dwell, that no matter how mad the madman is, he can't look for you there. There is a way a father will carry a child in his chest. And they say a madman ran from the road and is pursuing the child. That day, the madman will know that there is madness that is madder than madness. That day, the madman may not return back alive, not to talk of return mad. Hallelujah. Benjamin had the experience of being held in the embrace of God. Number four was David. David experienced the covering of the Lord. In Psalm 91, verse 1, if you read all the way to verse 4, David was actually talking about himself, his experience. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, me that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, I am abiding under the shadow or the covering of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he's my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Look at this now. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. He shall cover. David was so covered. So he said in Psalm 23, verse 1 all the way, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you have covered me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, they cover me, they protect me. That was David. Number five, Job. Before fear came, Job experienced the covering of the Lord. In Job chapter 3. Job chapter 1 and in verse 10. Satan had spoken to God and said, does Job fear you for nothing? Has thou not made an hedge about him? And about his house, and about all that he has on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You made a hedge, you covered him. Look at your neighbor, say, divine coverage is real. Divine covering is real. Divine covering is real. Say, divine covering is real. Number six, Paul the Apostle and the company that traveled with him. In Acts chapter 27, verse 21, all the way to verse 25. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Somebody said there shall be no loss. That's where that sticker came from. Said there shall be no loss. Said there shall be no loss. And I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Why? For they are stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. How many of you believe God? I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I can't doubt God. I can't doubt God. I believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say there shall be no loss. Somebody say there shall be no loss. I now prophesy upon someone here today, your family, your life, your job, your employment, your engagement, everything you lay your hands to do in this preservation service for the month of May, I decree there shall be no loss. There shall be no loss. And there shall be no loss. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. What are the channels for the covering of the Lord? In other words, what does God use to cover us? What are the instruments or what are the channels of covering? Avenues of covering. Number one, the presence of the Lord. That is, His presence alone is a covering. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Shaddai. Yea, though I walk through the valley. That is Psalm 91 verse 1. The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The other day somebody sent me the clip of one of the Middle Eastern kings, presidents, who had behind him a robot bodyguard. That robot bodyguard is like 3 or 4 times the height of the man. And very, very massive. It's almost like the height of Goliath. It moves like that. It is said that that one bodyguard can fight and shoot and kill hundreds of people at once. From every side. I think it cost him $6 million to manufacture it. Yes. But by the time you see that guy coming behind this short man, nobody needs to tell you, just clear out. Yes, you heard quacka, quacka, quacka. That was the movement. That was an ordinary robot. Imagine the presence of El Shaddai. Hey! Imagine the presence of I am that I am. Where the demons and the witches and the bitches and the lizards are looking at you and they realize, I don't like this man, but I can't near him. The Lord uses His presence to cover. He hasn't said anything. He's just around. Like they used to say in our place, if they burn you well, cross. I announce to somebody here today, that presence of the Lord shall be real in your life. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. That presence of the Lord shall be real in your life today. That's the guy there. In other words, if they burn you with a cross, if you like, go to the man's front. You won't know whether it was from head or back they hit you. He can speak about 6 languages. He speaks many languages. It's okay. Let's sit down and face the message. Hey! If human beings can manufacture this to protect themselves, how much more El Shaddai? Will you stand and give the king a shout of victory? A louder shout of victory. A loud more shout of victory. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. The presence of the Lord, number 2, is the terror of the Lord. I just mentioned that in passing just now. Genesis 35 and in verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob, the terror of the Lord. That is, God spray terror around you. There is a climate around you. Like I said earlier on, when they come to confront you, they may not jam fire, they jam fear. All of a sudden, their heart cut. All of a sudden, fear of death. All of a sudden, incontinence of urine. At every thought of you, hypertension. Out of terror. I told you the story before while I was in the university. Very, very brutal. In the spirit. One young man that I led to Christ, later on, very hard guy. I'd never saw that young man smiled before. Heavy, stocky, dark. He was as dark as dark. Eyes red. Then he was permanently on Indian hemp. Every time he said, when I caught him one day, and I said, go on your knees, I want to lead you to Christ. He got on his knees, got filled with the Holy Ghost later on. Later he told me. He said, anytime he saw me coming, with that highness of marijuana, he said, he was mortally afraid as soon as I was coming to kill him. There was something that he saw and felt. It's called the terror of the Lord. Both him and the devil inside him felt it. I decree to somebody here, around you and around where you live, that terror shall be felt. In a particular neighborhood where we lived some time ago, it was permanent confrontation of wicked people, robbers, all manner. Yes, then we moved to the house and they said the last woman who lived here, it was robbers, terrible robbery attack that made her pack. That was where we went. And we knew after we had moved in. And no moving out. The woman moved, it packed. Her experience was terrible. There are places around there where they sacked police, sacked everything. We live there and one of the persons in that neighborhood told me
long after. After we had lived there for a long time. He said, when you arrived there, peace came. He said, everybody here could go to bed and sleep. And we didn't know any of it. Until we had packed in, before we knew the story. As if we were implicated. The terror of the Lord. I announce to you today that terror of the Lord shall be felt around your life, around your neighborhood, around your vicinity, around everyone connected, related, associated in all locations right now. I prophesy the terror of the Lord upon the assemblies in the name of Jesus. The terror of the Lord. Number three, please take your seat. The glory of the Lord. The Lord covers using His presence. He covers using His terror. He covers using His glory. Isaiah chapter 4 and in verse 5, He said, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all, the glory shall be a shield. The glory shall be a defense. When some people wanted to stone Moses, after that, Korah and Abiram were swallowed up and died. The glory of the Lord arose. That was Numbers chapter 16, I believe verse 44, 45, thereabout. The glory of the Lord arose between those as the people took up the stones. The glory of the Lord arose. It's not here. Verse 44, thereabout, or 45. The glory of the Lord arose. And God told Moses, give me space, let me finish them. Give me space, let me finish them. Moses began to beg. Before the begging could go far, 22,000 had died. Before God could say, okay, I have heard your begging, 22,000 have died. By virtue of the risen glory. Not everybody is confrontable. Not everybody is fightable. Today I announce to you, everyone trying to fight you will receive the encounter, the judgmental encounter of the glory of the Lord. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. Help me tell 7 people around you, tell them I am not fightable, I am not fightable. I am not fightable. Be careful with me. Be careful with me. I am not fightable. Somebody give the Lord a loud shout of victory. A loud shout of victory. A louder shout of victory. Exodus 16 and in verse 42, he said, and it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, Exodus 16, 42, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it. Sorry, Numbers 16, 42 now. The cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. That glory appeared as if to say, as the people gathered, God said, okay, you have gathered. I establish my covering on my servant between you and him. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, get out from these people, verse 45, so I can consume them in a moment. Moses told Aaron, please carry his censer. Plead for them. Before the man could finish, 22,000 had died. Anybody looking for you, looking for us in this season, they shall experience death, instant death. Anybody looking for the church in Nigeria in this season, and looking for this church in particular, they will never live to tell the story. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Lift your right hand and shout, glory! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is a covering. The terror of the Lord is a covering. The glory of the Lord is a covering. Number four, the angel of the Lord is a covering. Psalm 34 and in verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Paul the apostle speaking said, they are stood by me this night, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, is stood by me. And he said to me, Paul, fear not. Acts 27:23. The angel of the Lord stood. Don't be afraid. No harm will come to you or to any of them. The angel of the Lord. I've experienced the ministry of the angel of the Lord many times. In revelations, in dreams. Mighty, massive angels. I told you one day I was in a dream. And some people came to fight themselves, not me. And I was about to rush at them. And somebody said, give space. And he did his hand once or twice. They were all on the floor, gone. And I said, who are you? See, I'm the angel sent to fight your battles. From that day, I'm aware that I am not alone. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that is the same. He said, he will give his angels charge over you. Every one of us, there's no one special enough to have an allocation of angels and others don't have. I will give my angels charge over you. They will bear you up in their hands in case you dash your foot against a stone. Am I communicating? Jesus said, beware how you treat these little children, for their angels behold the face of my Father. So every one of us coming to know the Lord, at least an allocation of an angel, at least. It's called a guardian angel. Right? And I believe that very soon you will see the manifestation of the ministry of the angel. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. That is the angel of the Lord. Number five is the rebuke of the Lord. The rebuke of the Lord. He suffered no man to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. The rebuke of the Lord. Ay, 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 ay. As the new one is found, Isaiah chapter, that was Psalm 105 verse 14 to 15, then Isaiah chapter 65, I believe, verse 8. And one say, touch it not, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my sakes. Destroy it not. For those who are connected to God, there is a spiritual speaking hanging over their lives. There is a voice, a speaking, a rebuke that is perpetually hanging. Touch not is hanging in the air. You may not hear it, but the demons and the witches hear it. They are walking. Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed, touch not my anointed, touch not. It's a perpetual injunction. Somebody say amen. How many of you know that this world would have been overrun since, if not that God gave a spoken decree to the sea? He said, when the sea charged forth, he gave a spoken decree and said, thus far and no further shall thou go. Your proud waves are restrained. Job talked about it, and I believe Ezekiel talked about it. Thus far and no further shall thou go. That is, no matter what happens, And he said, Job 38:11. Okay, back up a bit to verse 10 maybe. Back up a bit. Who shut up the sea with doors when he break forth as if it has issued out of a womb? Job 38. He said, who shut the sea? Who shut the sea with doors when it break forth as if, who is the one restraining babbage as if it issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud a dark garment thereof and take darkness a swaddling band for it, and break off for it my decreed place. I gave a boundary and set bars and doors, not physical but with my word, and said, hitherto shall thou come, but no further, and your proud waves are restrained, shall be stayed. That is the sea responding to decree. The oceans are responding to the decree not to overrun the earth. In the same manner, there is a decree hanging on your head that witches and wizards must obey, that the occultic realm must obey, that the powers of darkness must obey, that ritual killers must obey, that terrorists must obey. Somebody shout, yes! Remember the story of a little girl in Destiny Christian Academy on holiday, encountered the spirit of death, and then some, how many demons were escorting her? 6 demons were escorting her to the grave. Dr. Miss Enetcha came first, and then later he said, she saw me, and I said to those demons, didn't you read the notice? They said, what notice? It was hanging on her neck. It was turned. Origin, dunamis. And the warning is, do not trespass. That to me looks like, touch not my anointed. That to me looks like, this is an untouchable entity. Am I speaking to somebody here? There is a notice over your life. There is a notice around your head. There is a notice in the realm of the spirit. And I decree today, that notice shall be read by every demon to understand that you are an untouchable entity. To understand you are an unfightable entity. Both you and your family and your children. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Look at your neighbor, say, origin, dunamis. Warning, do not trespass. Give the Lord a big clap of hands as you take your seat. Please be seated. The time is just speeding. Number six is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Exodus 12, verse 11, and in verse 12. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Exodus 12. Alright, 12:12. And the blood, for I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the doors of Egypt, I will execute judgment, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, literally the blood is covering you from disaster. When I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague cannot cross the bloodline. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 and verse 12. As for thee, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Turn you to the stronghold. Turn you to your bomb shelter. That is the blood. You prisoners of hope, even today, I declare that I will render double unto you. Somebody lift your hands and say, the blood of Jesus. Somebody say louder, the blood of Jesus. Somebody say it louder, say the blood of Jesus. Say upon my life. Say it upon my life. Upon my family. Upon my destiny. I draw the bloodline by faith Say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. The blood of Jesus. I heard a story from Kenneth Copeland in America, in a particular neighborhood. Two mad foxes, not mad dog, rabid fox, were let loose in the neighborhood, attacking, killing, doing all manner of things. You know, a fox is a wild dog. Wild dog that ran mad. Just picture mad lion. Or mad tiger. Now, so, he was rampaging everywhere. And one man, Christian man, stood in front of his house. He said, I draw the bloodline on the perimeter of this property. And I said, Satan, and you rabid fox, whoever you are, whatever you are, the blood of Jesus is against you. Drew the bloodline. The next day, they saw the two foxes dead on the same spot at the perimeter of the house where they wanted to attempt to enter. They jammed the blood. Hey! Look at your neighbor. Say, it will work. It is real. It is real. Say after me, say, in the name of Jesus, I draw the bloodline around my life, around my family, around my destiny, around my possession, around the perimeters of my inheritance. I draw the line of the blood. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. The blood of the Lamb. Number 7, the anointing of the Spirit. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Isaiah 10:27. He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed. Alright, we read that already now. Isaiah 10:27. So, mark down Psalm 105, verse 12 to 15, and now Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It said, in that day, the burden shall be lifted from off your shoulder, and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Anything you do to increase the unction on your life increases the protection of your life. It says, Saul, the shield of Saul, was cast down as if he has not been covered with oil. Down mountains of Gilboa, let there be no rain, let there be no dew upon you. For there the seal of Saul was cast down as if it was water they poured on his head. Why should this man die as if it is not oil that is on his head? Was that 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 21? As if he had not been anointed with oil. So the unction, the anointing of the Spirit. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though it was paining David that somebody with oil should die like that. It was paining him. Because David also carried the oil, and no Goliath could face him. He was the one that finished everything that came against him. He died in good old age. He couldn't die in war. So how is this man dying like chicken? That's why as you generate the anointing by practices you do, physical point of contact, place the seal on your head, on your children, on your family, as you wake up in the day, especially in the time that we are in. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And just place it as a point of contact for the anointing. And let the devil find his way. Tonight, we are going to be anointed again. And I announce to you, as this oil comes upon your head, you are not permitted to die like Saul. That amen is so paralyzed. Dying like Saul means dying in the hands of your enemies. Dying in the hands of those who hate you. You cannot die like Saul. Say a louder amen. Take your seat. How many of you know that if that was all that we dealt with tonight, we have done so much. The presence of the Lord is your covering. The terror of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the rebuke of the Lord, the blood of the Lamb, the anointing of the Spirit. Number eight, the wall of fire. The hedge or wall of fire. In Zechariah chapter 20 verse 5, it says, I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her. The wall of fire. I believe it was something like that Job experienced. Job chapter 1 verse 10, have you not made a hedge around him? And about all that he has. There are those who come to attack you. They jam fear. And if they refuse to be detracted by the fear, they jam fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. Between now and this time tomorrow, there are those looking for you. For your family, for me, for my family, for the church of Jesus, between now and tomorrow morning, that will wake up with physical scars on their bodies. And if they persist, they shall be laid to rest. You believe that? Shout the loudest. Amen. The wall of fire number 9 is the hand of the Lord. That was the hand that covered Moses. Exodus 33, verse 21 to 23. The hand of the Lord. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth, that I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand. The hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. You know, the Bible said, you and me are the apple of his eye. So you can imagine the size of the eye, all of us, and the size of the head, and then the proportional size of the hand. And if that hand covers you, he said, can a woman forsake her sucking child, that she will not remember the child of her womb? Yeah, they may forget. Isaiah 49 verse 15. Look at it. Verse 15 and 16. It said, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yeah, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Why? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Everything about you is continually in front of me. If I look at my hand, I am seeing you. I planted you on the palms of my hand. On the basis of this, I preached a message many years ago. I am in his hands. And who is the devil that can pluck you out of his hands? The hand of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Somebody said the other day, he saw me preaching. And from the altar, he saw a very, very big hand from heaven. Just cover like that. The whole size of that altar. That is how you are. Under his hands. The aim of this message, you know, the purpose of revelation is conviction. You are meant to be convinced. The purpose of light is faith. Light is the food of faith. You are meant to stand up from here tonight and say, oh, is that right? Then there is no need to be afraid. I'm wasting my fear then. That if it is only one channel of his covering that I'm aware of, that is his presence, then it is enough for me. And then I'm not just dealing with only his presence. I am dealing with the terror of the Lord. I am dealing with the glory of the Lord. I am dealing with the angel of the Lord. I am dealing with almost everything in the hand of the Lord. But number 10 is the eyes of the Lord. The eyes, I'm just watching you. Watching you. Just watching. When the weight of this world crashes down on you, God is looking to you. The eyes of the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 15 to 17. 15 to 17. Look at what it says. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, against them to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the same righteous whose that God has his eyes on, and the Lord heareth him and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Why? I'm watching you. I'm watching you. Let me see who is about to trespass. Let me see who is about to trespass. I'm just watching you. Have you ever seen how a little boy is crawling and the mother is seated, but her eyes are just with that child? And the guy is just moving and moving and moving, but the eye of the mother is just, she may be, and women need a word though. They can do many things at the same time. Many things, multitasking. It's scraping yam, it's answering phone call, it's monitoring the food on the fire, and I is still watching baby that is crawling. And when that baby is nearing fire small, she dashes for the baby, pulls him back, continues the assignment, and is watching. Jehovah said, you are moving, but I am watching. That was why I said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored. Do you know the meaning of that? Uncle, come. He restored my soul. Face straight, my friend. Go ahead, keep going and shift to the left. Are you okay? If not for me, you would have killed yourself since. There are steps you wanted to take. I spoiled the vehicle. Hey! Journeys you wanted to go. I tried, didn't hear. I knocked the engine. And you said it was the devil. And you are binding the devil. No, it is me. And you can't bind me. Because his eyes are upon you. You are just moving and moving and moving. I want to enter into 419 hand. You want to marry the son of a demon. And like God's servant, Pastor W.F. Kumi, he told us in those days, he said, don't marry the child of the devil, because their father-in-law will visit you. Your father-in-law will come to your house. Hey! Hey! because your eyes are on me. I told you the story before. Many, many, many years ago, after I overworked myself so much, I was physically fagged out. I was worn out. I was exhausted. I'm physically, literally sickly. I laid on the bed. My wife is concerned that I wasn't as aggressive and active. For the first time. And then, one night, she woke up and saw this big face looking right on the bed. Like this. Overshadowing like this. He said, okay. So I'm just worrying for nothing. Let me just relax myself. God was just saying, calm down. I am here. Calm down. I am here. The face of the Lord is about to shine upon you to the sight of every devil. And that face of God is about to face out every devil that is looking for you. How many of you believe tonight that there is no devil to be afraid of under heaven? Stand on your feet and give him the shout of victory. If you believe there is no devil under heaven to be afraid of, give him a clap. Give him a shout. Give him a leap of joy. Look at three, tell them you are too fortified to be confronted. You are too fortified to be defeated. Rise up in boldness. Give the Lord a shout of victory. Take your seat 1 minute and let's round off. I didn't plan to have this message as long as this, but I believe that all these are necessary. How do you secure the covering of the Lord? What do you do? What are the secrets of securing the covering of the Lord? Number one is love for God. Love for God. Psalm 91 verse 14 and 15. Psalm 91 verse 14 and 15. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. No devil can cut him short because he has set his love upon me. I know you love things. You love houses. You love clothes. You love cars. You love your wife. You love your children. You love a man or a woman, or you love sports, or you love entertainment, or you love fashion, or you love whatever. The question is, what is the extent of your love for God? When I was preaching on dedication this year, I made reference to the marks of love for God. How do you know a person who loves God? Please refer to that message so you can understand what it entails to love God. You love God, you will love his word. You love God, you will love his people. You love God, you will love his house. You love God, you will love souls. There are many marks of love for God. But love for God will bring you his covering. Number two is love by God. When you love God and you come to the point where you are loved by God. God loves everybody generally, but there are people he calls, this is a man after my heart, like David. When you are in that realm, anybody who wants to waste you will be wasted. Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 12, he said, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between each other. Why? Because he is beloved of God. He is beloved. Isaiah 43 verse 3 to 4. Isaiah 43 verse 3 to 4. He said, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou was precious in my sight, thou have been honorable, and I have loved you. For that purpose, I will waste people for you. Give people for your life. You love God and you are loved by God. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. To be loved by God is to do things that please God. When your life is permanently giving God pleasure, you don't beg him. The love is extra. And then, anybody looking for death is permitted to look for you. Number three is trust in God. Trust in God. Psalm 91 and in verse 1 to 5, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord is nothing but unconditional confidence in God. The type that Job said, even if he slays me, I will still trust him. Job chapter 13 and in verse 15. I just trust God. I mean, I'm not necessarily looking for anything from him. When you come to the point, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God we serve is able to deliver us and he will. But even if he doesn't, let it be known to you that we are not even changing our mind about God. Trust in God. When you are at that point, then he will deliver you from the burning fiery furnace. Number four is the fear of God. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. The fear of God. And the fear of God is to hate evil. The fear of God is to sustain a conscience that is tender. Where you are not a hardened criminal, hardened sinner. Your heart is tender with God. That fear of the Lord, where you don't take God for granted, you don't take his mercy for granted, you don't take his forgiveness for granted. You tremble before him. That fear of the Lord secures the covering of the Lord. Number five is faith in God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And when I say faith in God, I mean the absence of fear of evil. The absence of the fear of evil. Because in Job chapter 3 and in verse 25, Job said that the things he feared came upon him. That the only person you are fearing is God. Not the devil, not the witches, not the wizards, not the necromancers or the stargazers. And number six is the light of the word. The light of the word. The light of the word. Psalm 94 and in verse 91 and in verse 4. He said, his truth, he shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings he shall trust. His truth, which is the same as his word, shall be thy shield and your buckler. His truth, revelation, shields you. It shields you. All the things you are hearing tonight, put them in your spirit. Don't let what is happening in society drive your expectation. Don't let what happened to anybody, whoever they are, don't let it drive your expectation. Let the light of the world, let revelation fuel your expectation. The light of the world. Let me put fear on its own. Number seven is the rejection of fear. The rejection of fear. The rejection of fear. The rejection of fear. The rejection of fear is a tool. And Job 3, 25 and 26. And then number eight is the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. Whatever you do to dwell in his presence, to secure that presence around you. In the fellowship of the brethren. In generating the presence at the place of prayer, fasting, worship, and all of that. The presence of the Lord. Psalm 91 verse 1 and 2. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And Psalm 23 verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil,
for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, both of them comfort me. Go through this message. The points are very many, but they are all workable and applicable. And where we have challenge, we ask God for mercy to be able to comply. But the word of God, heaven and earth may fail, but the word can never fail. The word of God has worked in the lives of people. We've said testimonies, and it will work in your life. Tonight is your night. The devil that will kill you before your time does not exist. That witch that will celebrate your funeral does not leave. If they don't leave you alone, they will be laid to rest. We heard the testimony of Emmanuel at the vigil on Sunday. Those looking for him were laid to rest. That shall be your portion. Can you stand on your feet with a shout of praise? A louder shout of praise. The loudmost shout of praise. Anybody blessed here tonight? Who is the most blessed person here tonight? Who is the most blessed person here tonight? Let me announce to you that even your dream shall change tonight. Your dream life shall change tonight. The kind of oppression you used to experience in the dreams shall expire tonight. Whereas you saw them pursuing you before, after tonight, you are the one who will be seeing yourself pursuing them. Lift up your hands, man, and let's appreciate God for this moment. Appreciate Him. Honor Him. Adore Him. Magnify Him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands. Are you ready for a marathon kind of prayer? Lift your hands and say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your word.
For your word.
To me.
To me.
Tonight.
Tonight.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I embrace
your presence.
Your presence. I reject fear.
I ask, Lord,
that you open my eyes to see the light of your word. So I can operate in the realm of faith, in trust and confidence, in the name of Jesus. Father, give me the fresh baptism of the fear of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, and to trust in you, in the name of Jesus, and to be loved by you, in the name of Jesus, and to love you with a fresh passion. I receive the fresh passion of your love over my life
tonight,
in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. In the name of Jesus, say after me, say, Father,
I ask
for the defense,
the
covering
of your presence
over my life,
the terror
of the Lord,
the glory
of the Lord,
the angel
of the Lord,
the rebuke
of the Lord,
the blood
of the Lamb,
the anointing
of the Spirit.
The wall
and hedge
of fire.
The hand
of the Lord.
The eyes
of the Lord.
Over my life.
over my family, over my destiny, over everything connected, related, associated with me. I make demands right now on your covering. I receive for myself, for my family, for my destiny. Now, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and receive. Receive the covering of the Lord. Receive the covering of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we'll use about a few minutes, like 4 minutes, also to pray the same preservation upon our nation. Hallelujah. Especially in the season we are in now. I know of people who traveled out of the country. And I asked someone, I said, when are you coming back? He said, oh, not this month. He means after so and so date, you will come back. Why? Trepidation, anxiety. But listen to this. Proverbs 19:21 said, there are many devices in the heart of a man. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. If it is not the counsel of the Lord, nothing will make a stand. Not the counsel of the occult. Not the counsel of witches. Not the counsel of wizards. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. In Lamentation 3:37, it said, who is he that saith it? And it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not. It doesn't matter what was said. The question is, who said it? If it is not God, discard it. If it is not God talking, trash it. If it is a demon talking, trash it. If it is a witch or a wizard talking, trash it. If it is an occultic man talking, trash it. If it is an agent of darkness talking, trash it. For nobody has the right to speak and it comes to pass, except it is the Lord. And he said in Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth, including Nigeria, is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Nigeria is the Lord's. Nigeria is not for evil. It's not for the devil. Nigeria is not for the occult. Nigeria is not for wicked politicians. Nigeria is not for witches. Nigeria is not for wizards. Nigeria is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And the one who owns the land is the only one who has the right to determine what happens in the land. And finally, John chapter 1 verse 5 said, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The day that light will bow for darkness will never arise. The day that darkness will be so strong until light is quenched, that day will never arise. Let nobody's heart in this nation fail him. God is not true. The journey is on. And at the end, there shall be celebration. Take the first prayer point and say, Father, we demand the immediate victory and triumph of light over darkness in Nigeria in this season. In the name of Jesus, we decree the immediate defeat and destruction of darkness in Nigeria. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus,
say, Father, we demand the immediate victory and triumph of light over darkness in Nigeria in this season. In the name of Jesus, we decree the immediate destruction of darkness in Nigeria. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. We demand immediate victory and triumph of light over darkness in Nigeria, in this city, in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree the immediate defeat and destruction of darkness in Nigeria. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. In Luke 10:19, he said, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We shall set altars of witchcraft and wickedness on fire. Say after me, say, Father, we decree the judgment of fire on all occult, all witchcraft, altars, and covens, and their custodians designed to distract and destroy the God-ordained purpose and destiny of Nigeria in this season. We decree their destruction now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Pray. Father, we decree the judgment of fire on all occult and witchcraft altars and their custodians designed to distract and destroy the God-ordained purpose and destiny of Nigeria in this season. We decree their destruction in the name of Jesus. We decree the judgment of fire on all occult, all witchcraft altars and covens and their custodians designed to distract and destroy the God-ordained purpose and destiny of Nigeria in this season. We decree their destruction in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Ezekiel 45 and in verse 9. We are. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil. Execute judgment. O you judges of Nigeria, remove violence. Deal with the violence that we have seen. Deal with the spoils and execute judgment and justice. And take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord of hosts. We shall pray three things for judges in this nation. Number one, the conscience. Number two, the courage. Number three, the covering or the protection to do the right thing in this season. Open your mouth and say, Father, we ask for the conscience, courage, and covering. The covering we just spoke about tonight. Say, Father, we ask for the conscience, the courage, and the covering protection for the judiciary to do the right thing in this season, in our nation. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, we ask for the conscience, the courage, and the covering protection for the judiciary to do the right thing in this season, in our nation. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' precious name. Isaiah chapter 48 and in verse 3. Isaiah 48 and in verse 3. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Father, let your purpose in Nigeria come to pass suddenly. How will it come to pass? How will it come to pass? How will it come to pass? That is unawarely. Take the devil unawares. Element of surprise. Suddenly. Lift your voice and say, Father, we ask that you bring to pass suddenly, urgently, timelessly, your purpose and plan for our nation in this season. Father, bring your purpose to pass suddenly. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, pray. In Jesus' precious name, the Lord has heard us and he has answered us. Lift up your hands and receive a seal tonight. But before we do that, you are here tonight in need of surrender to Jesus. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You are in need of surrender to Jesus. Want your sins forgiven. Want today to mark a new day in your life. I'll need you to pray this prayer with me. And say after me, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.